This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dischem Baby City.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And yes, it is a Wednesday at 11 o'clock, 10 past 11 already. And you are on Hi FM and listening to Bump and Beyond. And as always, we are talking parenting. When I have to say, when I was pregnant, and even when I had small children, I mean, actually, to be honest, I still have that, where sometimes I have these questions about parenting and about, sometimes I would say silly, and I don't want to say the word silly because I don't want you to feel silly that you have these questions. But sometimes you have these questions where you want to ask someone about it, but you might feel too silly to ask it, or you might not have someone to ask about it, because sometimes, you know, there's like, you might have a parent, you know, like the grandma or someone like that, but they might not know the latest stuff about parenting. So it's a little bit hesitant to ask them. Not that it's always bad. You should get a broad overview with certain things, but I'm also one of those people where, to be honest, I don't really like to have too many options. That confuses me to have too many options. And that's also sometimes, even when I go to like a shop, and then you're standing there and then like they have 5,000 different formulas and they have 10,000 different bottles. And that just like honestly overwhelms me completely. But like I said, I know, like, for instance, something silly, which, I mean, I didn't really ask anyone, which I should have asked someone, but I can remember that I was breastfeeding for quite some time. And then eventually, and my son, Oscar refused to take a bottle. So it took a long time to actually introduce a bottle. And then I think by 12 months, it was close to 12 months, he finally took a bottle. And a friend came over to me, and before I then gave the bottle to him, I mean, obviously, at this point, he wasn't on a lot of milk anymore. And I was then sterilizing the bottle. And my friend's like, "What the hell are you doing?" I'm like, "Sterilizing the bottle." And she's like, "Why?" And I'm like, "Isn't that what you're supposed to be doing? And you are supposed to be." And then she informed me that, yes, of course you are supposed to sterilize bottles. But at 12 months, you don't have to do it every single time that you feed your baby or your toddler at that point anymore. Because they're also obviously crawling and walking around, putting things in their mouths and stuff. But that's like one of those things where, yes, I should have known better. But I didn't know better. And now today, this is what today's show is about, is I want to be that person for you to try and help to ask those questions that you want to know how to do things, and to have them answered by someone who I think is a professional in this. She's also a mom, but she also works for Dischem. So I do think she's going to be helpful. I hope I'm also going to be helpful. But again, also, I may be one of those parents now because I'm like a grandparent now. I'm not a grandparent yet, but my kids are 10 and 13. So even now when clients tell me formulas and stuff, I have to look it up because then I'm like, what are they talking about? I've never even heard about this. And then I have to look. So I'm constantly learning, obviously, new things, but at the same breath, I don't just know it because I out of my own experience anymore. So if you have questions that you want to ask about anything related to parenting, ask them now. Please send us a WhatsApp on 061-895-1019. And then me and my guest, who is the clinic regional manager for Dischem Baby City, Lizelle Ferrie, will try and ask or answer them for you. So on that note, my expert guest today, hello, Lizelle.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
No, I'm very excited, like you heard, that I'm hoping that this is going to be a fun thing and that in some ways that I'm not the only one who's going to feel silly, or I don't want to say stupid or silly, actually, because I don't feel they are silly questions.
No, not at all.
But sometimes,
and I think we all get overwhelmed.
Yeah, and sometimes you're just not like 100% sure if this is an okay question to ask, and if someone's going to judge you that you don't know it. I hope all of you judged me, though, for the fact that I was still sterilizing for bottles 12 months. It is. Lizelle, you've, how many kids do you have?
I only have one. We struggled very long to have her. Yes. Yeah. So she's the light of our lives. But I must be honest with you, even having a nursing background, when she came along and we waited so long for her, I kind of went blank, and I remember I asked my mother-in-law, like, how many layers of clothing do they need? You know, things that I would have given advice on to other mothers, that when you're in that boat, you think like you just get a blank on what you know already.
Yeah, and I mean, you question also. And I mean, I do have to say that I remember also before having children and then after having children, you always have these preconceived ideas of what it's going to be like and. So I do also think that then once you actually have children, it's overwhelming, and then you're kind of, you forget all those things that you know.
Definitely. And I think that's even true with the first to the second one. You know, you think you would know what to do, and then the second one, just like if they said, most, if every baby had a book, we'll have a million books for them, because none of them are the same.
Yes. No, that, and I mean, that's exactly it. And one of my guests also a couple of weeks ago, exactly, we were talking about that. It's like where we were saying, it's like, I'm like, how the hell does parenting not come with a manual? And she exactly said that. It's like, you can't make a manual because every child is different. You can't. So it's impossible. So a good reminder for all the parents out there. And again, I'm hoping that we can help all of you a little bit with those questions that you want to know, but you don't know who you should ask. And today you should ask us about it. I've got a couple of questions here that I thought of that might be helpful. So I'm hoping my pre-vetted questions is also going to help. And I'm going to dive right into it. But I just want to remind you that I want you to be part of the conversation. So even if you're a grandparent and you have something to ask that you don't know who to ask to about parenting or about what to buy your daughter or something, or what not to say to your daughter or ask, please send us a WhatsApp on 061-895-1019. We want you to be part of this wonderful conversation. The first thing I want to know, and this is like the first question, and I think this is also not a silly question, but again, one of those things where there's 1,000 options when you walk into Dis-Chem, and that is diapers. How do you, and also not just because you get Pampers, then you get Pampers Premium, then you get Huggies, then you get Huggies Gold. So it's not just, even within a brand, there is a 50 different options. What should you be thinking about when you're choosing diapers?
So I think, first of all, you have to choose which type of diaper you want. Do you want to go disposable or do you want to go eco-friendly? So the thing with disposable is it's convenient, it's easy, it's, you know, you take it off, you throw it away. Cloth or eco-friendly diapers is a bit more tricky. You have to learn how to do the bamboo layer inside, and you obviously have to wash those and maintain them. And they cannot be tumble dried. So you have to think of having enough of them that they can air dry outside. So that's maybe more for someone that knows they will be able to stay at home. They maybe don't have other kids that's taking their attention that can have that time to do it. And then you get kind of a hybrid diaper, which is a mix between the eco-friendly one and the disposable one. So it depends on what your needs are, first of all.
Yes, Lizelle, we're going to talk about more about before you get further into this.
No problem.
You need to take a break just now. But before that, I want to thank our sponsor of this show, Dis-Chem Baby City.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
Yes, if you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM, and I'm your host, Yolandi Becker, and this is Bump and Beyond, and as always, talking parenting. Today, a little bit of I don't know if it's fun, but maybe it's awkward. I don't know what the right, but awkward is always fun for me, I guess. Is talking about those questions that you want answers to, but you don't know really who to ask. So I am talking today with Diskin Babysitty Clinic Regional Manager. That's like a very long title, but it's very official. Lizelle Fourie is joining me. And just before we went to the ad break, we were talking about how do you make up your mind in choosing a diaper. And Lizelle, you were mentioning, first of all, you have to think about whether or not. And again, while you were talking, I was like, I didn't even know there was like a hybrid version of between eco and not, because I mean, that is, they say like disposable diapers, the amount of disposable diapers on landfills is astonishing. And we're really polluting the earth with disposable diapers, and we should find a better solution, because it takes something like a gazillion years for a disposable diaper to decompose. So we really do need to think of these things. But again, when your child has 8 poopy diapers per day in the beginning, I honestly could not give a damn about it. It's horrible to say, and but that was really my feeling at that point, and we really should find. But you do get really nice disposable. But again, I feel the eco-friendly ones was not as fancy when my kids were babies. But anyway, what's this hybrid version? Tell me about that.
So the hybrid version is half of it is disposable, that you don't have to wash that outer side all the time. But the linings is still the bamboo type that you can reuse instead of, you know, having the whole thing taking forever to decompose. So they try to do like a double version where you don't have to wait so long for the outer side to dry. But I don't know if you've seen the new ones. It is beautiful. Yeah. They've really, the market is huge on eco-friendly diapers, and they're very cute, and they have little patterns on. So they really try to make it beautiful.
And I feel that they're also so much nicer and softer, the ones I've seen. Yes. If you think you're putting your baby in this, like all the time your baby is in a diaper, I feel it's also, you get such nice, it's so nice and soft when it's actual material.
Yes. No, it's definitely, but then obviously you have to look at the cost implication. That is much more expensive. At, they say if you work it out long term, how many you would use, it's more cost effective. But if you have to put that amount down now, it's a little bit more for people. So that's another thing you have to look at when you buy nappies, is obviously your budget. Some people can't afford Pampers Premium. And I must be honest, at the beginning, it's not that necessary to go for a high brand, because you change it so many times. So almost just stay in the diaper for 2 hours and then you change it again. So it's not
that
important.
Good point. That is actually really, really a good point. Because, yes, they're advertising it keeps your baby dry for 12 hours, but within 12 hours of new, I remember my son pooped every, he fed and he pooped.
Yes.
It was literally 8 to 10 diapers a day. So he was never in a diaper for 12 hours anyway.
Exactly. So then you don't need the most expensive brands. But yes, when you start to have them that they sleep through the night and you need more protection and more layering, then yes, definitely then you can go for a more expensive brand that you know, like a Pampers Premium or a Huggies Gold, that you know would stay so that I don't get nappy rash through the night.
Yeah.
That can lock that moisture in.
No, it's like, I really wish I had this conversation 13 years ago. I could have saved some money, I feel. The next one, though, so obviously we know we are definitely ambassadors for breastfeeding. And to be honest, that is the cheapest option if you can do that. But it's not always a possibility for all parents. And also, as your baby gets older, you might want to stop, go back to work. There's various reasons, but formula is something that, you know, comes up a lot. First thing I want to mention is that I just want to say from personal experience, please, every time you go for a checkup with your baby at a clinic, whether or not it's Diskim or whether or not it's at your pediatrician, please ask the question. Because I remember that my baby was, the doctor put him on one of those reflux type of formulas, which is like on a very tiny tin, and it's very expensive. And again, I use that anti-reflux like formula way too long. I really could have stopped using it very long before I actually used it. And someone actually asked me, it's like, why are you still on this formula? And I'm like, no, the doctor recommended it. Once again, my child was already like much older. And I mean, again, I was breastfeeding also for quite some long, for some time. So whatever, maybe that was also it. I didn't know better. And then they were like, but when did the doctor recommend it? I was like, I don't know, when the baby was like 5 months old or something. And they're like, and now your baby is 1 year and you're still again, please ask the question every time you go to, because just because your pediatrician recommended it when your baby was 6 weeks old doesn't mean it's necessary anymore at 3 months or at 6 months or at 7 months or whatever. So please do ask that question quite regularly. But how do you choose a formula? I just looked at the CAD, which one was the prettiest. That was fine.
So I'm actually honest, there is a lot, and it is usually good to have like a clinic nurse to help you with the choice, because you get cow's milk-based formulas. And the thing is, that's mostly suitable for all babies. But if the baby has a cow's milk allergy, which the nurse would know the symptoms of, then you can't use that one that's cow's milk based. And then you obviously get a soy-based, which is more for lactose intolerant and dairy allergies. And then you get a hypoallergenic milk. And a lot of people think a hypoallergenic milk is for if your baby is allergic to certain things. And that's not actually what it is. It is usually if the parents are allergic to a lot of things or has an background, you start your baby on hypoallergenic formula to prevent allergies. So it's not actually when the allergy is there that you have to start on that. And then you get specialized formulas, like you said, something for reflux or premature infants, or if they have abdominal issues, like intestinal issues, then you have certain milks for certain things. The nice thing about it is you don't have to stay on anything probably forever. There's a very small percentage of kids that will have cow's milk allergy by the age of one and will stay on those milks. So the idea is that you work with your clinic nurse and you will start to buy, obviously it has to be age appropriate and it must fall into your budget as well. And then, you know, then you talk to your clinic nurse and you will sit with her or him and decide, okay, we have allergies in the family, let's start with hypoallergenic milk. But the biggest thing is that we will challenge with that milk. So in 2 months' time, we will go on to a normal cow's milk-based formula and see how the baby reacts, because we don't want them to form an allergy for long term. So we would keep challenging them. Same with the anti-reflux. We will give it so everything calms down, and then you will challenge it to see, will the baby tolerate it now? Because we have to understand that when they're born, everything's immature. Their guts are immature, everything. So it won't work as it's supposed to yet. Yeah. It will still get there. So, and a lot of the time you think reflux is like it spit up. Reflux is like projectile reflux. You know, then you know this is reflux. Most babies have spit up. Yeah. So it's not necessary always that you need to go on an anti-reflux milk. So there's a lot of things to consider, and there's so many choices. But to be honest, if you look at one brand anti-reflux and you look at other brands, the ingredients are mostly the same.
Yeah.
And sometimes mothers do have preferences as well, because something worked with their previous baby. But I think the biggest thing you should not do is to jump between milks. This week you try this one, next you try another one. That just makes the gut really impatient and angry, and it can cause diarrhea or constipation and a lot of uncomfortability for the baby. So the biggest thing is not to jump between three milks a lot. Rather contact a clinic nurse or a pediatrician so that you don't have to jump between so many.
No. If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond. And today we're talking about those questions that you want to know the answers to, but you don't know who to ask. And I have Lizelle Fourie joining me from Dis-Care, and she's the regional manager there, to actually talk about those yeah, things that we need answers to. How to choose a formula, how to choose a diaper. And if you have any of these questions, please don't hesitate to contact us. You can send us a WhatsApp on 061-895-1019. 061-895-1019. If you've just joined me, don't worry, because this will be available as a podcast afterwards for you to go listen to on HiFM.com. We actually have a wonderful app for HiFM. So if you haven't downloaded it yet, you should have done that already, and you should do it now so that you can listen to this live, but also go listen to the podcast on it. And you can even interact with us and WhatsApp us directly from the app. It makes it very easy for you to find everything and do everything. So, you know, level up, get the app. Now is a good time. Again, also, Lizelle, what you were saying about the formula as well, not to chop and change, it fits in very much with a show as well that I've done before, talking to a pediatrician about formula milk as well. And she was also advising to say, listen, you shouldn't change, and you shouldn't unnecessarily start your baby on a formula that that you think, oh, maybe they have reflux, or you shouldn't just start on something like that. But again, the best when you're wanting to choose is to actually just consult with a clinic sister at Dis-Chem, Baby City Clinics, or your pediatrician to talk about that. So yes, then another thing where there's lots of stuff of, and I actually have personal experience with this because I had two very different children when it came to this. It's like, so my son had nothing like that I could remember skin-wise that I had to worry about. But my daughter, on the other hand, so I bought, like, I can't even remember. People gave me stuff like Johnson & Johnson's for my baby shower. Oh, I still had stuff left probably as well for my son. Who knows? And I obviously used normal washing powder, washing her clothes, nothing seriously special that happened. And she had the most sensitive skin. Like she would get rashes from from clothes. So I really had to buy like special washing powder. So first I thought, as because I didn't know it was the clothes at first. First I thought it was the soap. So I changed the soap, and it did actually make a difference, the soap, because we're using I don't know what, and we had to use something for more sensitive babies. I think we used like, I can't remember, but it's like a natural type of thing that we used. It got better, but it didn't improve. There was still sometimes like around her neck, especially where she would have a rash. And then I thought, I think I spoke to a clinic sister about it, and she said maybe it's the washing powder that you're using. And then I had to change the washing powder and the softener that we were using. And then Anique has a really great one that they sell that we used with rooibos in it, and that made all the difference. So for a very long time, I actually had to. So I chose something, or I had something, I can't remember if I consciously chose the soap. But how do you do that? It's like, do you just try it like what I did and hope for the best? Hopefully you get some for free in your baby bag that you can try out.
So the main thing is most babies have very sensitive skin when they are born. So you have the lucky ones, like you said, your son, where you can wash with anything, you wash the clothes with anything, but mostly babies don't react well to any strong soaps or washing powders or anything like that. So it is best to actually start with a gentle and mild soap to avoid irritating the skin, because once you get there, like you said, the rash is so bad, sometimes you even have to treat the rash with like an anti-eczema ointment or something like that. So obviously, we want something that's tear-free when you wash them with, so that they don't have the reactions of the eye. If you know, most probably you or your partner have had skin like ectopic dermatitis or eczema, most probably it can be that you would rather want to start with something very hypoallergenic and mild. And then, obviously, no fragrances in there. And if you could choose something with natural ingredients, because that's much, the body accepts that much more, like coconut oil or shea butter or anything like that. And then But I think the biggest thing is to use baby-specific products on babies. Don't use an adult EpiMax on a baby or an adult cream that you feel is mild on your skin, because unfortunately our skin has years and years that formed and got harder, and you know, especially got used to all the harsh environments that we're in. The baby hasn't been exposed to any of that. So we really need to, the best I would say for the first 3 months, use something gentle. And then, like I said, probably you got it as a gift, something not so gentle, and maybe more allergens in. And then you can trial, do like two washes with that and see if it does have any reaction. Nothing, then you can go on with your other products. But if you see, oh, there's some rash coming, just go back to the milder soap.
Okay. I agree with that as well. And I remember as well, you have to keep in mind that also especially with newborn babies, just it's not necessary to bath them every day. In fact, also soaps, and especially strong soaps, can actually dry out their skin a lot more. So your intention is to, you know, clean them and to moisturize them. And when you're putting them in water and you're thinking you're moisturizing, but actually the soap can dry out their natural oils that they have within the skin. So you don't necessarily want to bath them with soap in the beginning. And that's why there is baby oils and things like that, because it actually helps. And you get, Lizelle mentioned, like coconut oil and things like that. I remember my son and my daughter, I used to rub with olive oil after. And I really think it made such a difference for their skin eventually. My daughter, I was a little bit more worried about, because she is olive oil is obviously natural, so it also helped for her sensitive skin in the end of the day, for them to be in that. Oh, and I remember it was so nice. Oh, now my son is 13, he doesn't want me to rub oil on him anymore. Makes me all nostalgic here in the middle of the show. Another good question that I have that I just also realized that you don't think of is, like, when you think of buying clothes for your babies, you have to be so very careful. First of all, hopefully you're lucky. Please have a baby shower so that you get lots of clothes. But also keep in mind when you go to a baby shower that you work out a little bit how old this baby is. Because I also had that where people then bought me stuff for like 3 to 6 months. But obviously my baby was born in September, and then it was still relatively cool and there was still lots of winter stuff in the shops. So they got me like winter things for 3 to 6 months, but my son then was in summer, he was 3 to 6 months. So I couldn't use some of the clothes. Luckily there were smarter people as well that bought appropriate. But that's also a thing to keep in mind, that you should work out whether or not, luckily all stores have winter and summer clothes almost always available for babies. There's usually a variety of both of those things wherever you are in the year. But just keep that in mind, that when you're buying things that, in 6 months' time, it might be winter. So you shouldn't buy too many summer things. So that's my tip when you think about clothes. Lizelle, what do you think? How much clothes does a baby need? And what should we be thinking about when we're buying clothes?
So they don't actually need that much, especially if they're young. You can have maybe 6 to 8 onesies, and you can have sleepers or pajamas for them.
I just asked you this question without realizing the time, because it's so fun talking about this. But yes, more on this just now after the ad break.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 Chai FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. Today, we're talking about those questions that you want to know the answers to, but you didn't even know that you had to ask them. I wanted to say silly questions that you ask, but in all honesty, some of these things, I feel that you don't even realize you should have asked the question. So I'm hoping it's helping, but we are very strongly, very quickly running out of time. I think, Lizelle, you're going to have to join me again, because we're going to need to talk about all the other questions I have. And I've heard actually so much. And I think I feel it's very helpful, this topic and these things. But before we went to the ad break, I very rudely interrupted you there. But it is necessary because we're very grateful for the people who are sponsoring on Chai FM, because it means we can continue to have this show and, of course, wonderful guests like you to join us. So I am grateful for the ad breaks as well. But before we got interrupted, we were talking about how much clothes does a baby need and how do you choose clothes?
So we could actually use the rule of five. So you can say the baby needs five onesies and five pajamas and five pairs of socks and obviously hats if it's cold. And you can have about three swaddles. So that's now for a newborn, 0 to 3 months. The major thing is, from 0 to 3 months, the thing you have to worry about is the blowouts, the poop blowouts, unfortunately. No. And that can stain the clothes, and then you have to have extras and change everything. The spit-offs are not that much at the beginning. It's more from 3 to 6 months when they start, the teeth are coming into the case and it wants to come out. So then it starts to itch and they start to drool more. And then you really, the clothes are permanently wet in front. The biggest thing that people need to know about clothes, if you're getting someone else, please try to get as easy as possible. The zippers are great on the onesies, and you even get magnetic ones. So we had two sets of magnetic ones, and I remember my mother-in-law said, no, I just want that one when I have her. I just want that one. Because it was so much easier in changing the nappies, and especially at night.
Yeah.
The clips are very cute and everything, but it takes forever if you have to do that at night, and you just want them to go back to sleep quickly. So anything that makes it easier for a mummy, definitely. I think the same that you said, if you buy someone something and you don't know if it's going to be winter, summer, maybe in between, rather leave the price tag on and just like rub out the actual price. They did it a lot with my baby shower, and I was very grateful. I could go and exchange a lot of things for a diff, because I also had a prem baby. So the thing was, we had to use prem clothes, and you don't bargain for that. We had to go and buy it while she was in the hospital. But then by the time that 3 to 6 months actually fitted her, we were in a new season already. She was so small.
That's actually so small. That's also, if you buy something for someone else, rather leave the tags and stuff on so that you can. And lots of, even with diapers, if you, most places will allow you, if it's a closed full pack, they will allow you to exchange it for a different size. So most places will allow you. So that's actually a good tip as well. On the notes of blowouts, though, and clothes, I do also want to share a tip. You know, the top of baby grows have these, it's like, it's kind of as if over the shoulder, they have these little flaps to where you can kind of open them up. Did you know the reason for that is so that you are able to take the clothes off downwards over them? So that's why it's so, if you have a blowout, often then you're thinking, oh crap, I'm now going to put this poopiness over the head. You don't have to put it over the head. Those little things are to be to open up the baby grow from the top so that you can take it over the shoulders and take it down. So just a friendly tip. Something I found out only after my children were babies. I did not know it while I was having babies. So let's see. This show is really saving lives today, I feel.
I mean, I don't know if I can add something there, Yolandi. So yes. I see a lot of people layering their poor baby so much. They have like a vest on and a onesie and like a small blankie and a big blankie and a hat and everything. And so we must remember they are likely to be more cold than us, but they usually say whatever you have on, just one extra layer for your baby.
Yeah.
And because we must remember they can't regulate their temperature yet. So if they are hot, they can't sweat, and especially if you close the head, because that's where they leap, you know, the temperature can leap their body a bit, but they can overheat by us putting on too many clothes and blankets.
And lot more quickly. We also did have a couple of weeks ago, I spoke to Annika Badenhorst about like baby sleeping bags and things like that. And she also mentioned about that as well, is that babies actually, you have to remember that they metabolize food a lot more. So their bodies are actually regulating or becoming warmer a lot more than us. And like I said, they can't regulate their own body temperature. So if you have big blankets over them, the chances are a lot higher that they're going to overheat than what we would, because they can't regulate their temperature. So it is important also, don't feel their hands and feet. Their feet and hands are always cold, especially when it's winter. A good way is to check also the back of their necks. If it's sweaty, then they're too hot. If it's cold, then you can put an extra layer on them. But yes, please also go look on my on our Goodnight Instagram page. I have a little like infographic that I've created to show you how to dress your baby when they're sleeping. I can assure you, lots of baby sleeping bag companies, the proper ones, will have a proper how to dress your baby when it's different temperatures. So go have a look at that. It is a very common thing that parents wonder about, is how to dress your baby in different temperatures. And you have to also keep in mind on that note is that if the temperature is below 16 degrees at night, it's too cold. You can't warm your baby up with a blanket then, because then they will overheat. It will be too many blankets. If the temperature is below, say, 16 degrees in the room, you need to do something about the room temperature. Have a panel heater or something like that. And the opposite is true as well. When the temperature becomes over 25 degrees, which in all honesty is all the time in summer in Gauteng, you need to do something about the heat and you need to cool down the room. But yes, oh, we're really running out of time. But just now, we'll finish up with Lizelle. But I'm telling you, Lizelle, you're going to have to come back. But I'm going to ask one more question before you go.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. It's brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
And just like that, another show is coming to an end. It was a good one. If you've missed it, you really need to go listen to the show, because I feel like there was lots of little bits of insights of things that you really didn't even know that you had to ask, to be honest. And there's a whole bunch of other questions that I can think about and that you should send to me, that we should get Lizelle back on here so that we could ask these questions. But before you go, Lizelle, and I am joined, if you didn't hear this before, I'm joined by Lizelle Furi, who is the regional manager for Dis-Chem Baby Cities for the clinic. So Lizelle, before you go, I mentioned in the beginning that I very long took sterilizing my son's bottles and stuff. So till what age should you be sterilizing bottles? Or let's start with, how regularly should you sterilize in the beginning, and when can you start doing it less?
Okay, perfect. So first 6 months, you sterilize after every use of the bottle. And then from 6 to 8 months, they say you can start doing maybe once and once not. So you alternate between that, just to give them a little bit of that exposure to other bacteria, because they're crawling as well. Yeah. And then by 12 months, you can actually stop. But I must be honest, I had my little girl, she's 15 months, and she was in a hospital with a tummy bug. And the doctor actually said, when they are having a tummy bug, that's an ideal time to start sterilizing bottles again, just for 3 months, to give that tummy a rest, and then you go back to your normal, just while they're ill. Just do not give them any more bacteria. That's the only time when. So after 12 months, you can actually stop, except if they're ill.
Ah, see, if only I knew that. My son also had very serious stomach issues for a very long time. Anyway, so you learn too late, apparently, but you never too old to learn. Lizelle, I'm definitely going to have you back on the show, because we need to finish this conversation. It was so wonderful. And you can hear that you are knowledgeable from a nurse's perspective, but for sure also from a mom's perspective. And that's the wonderfulness. There were so many tips and tricks that you shared that was gold, worth gold. So thank you so much for joining me. Of course, guys, please remember you can go register on the Dis-Chem Baby City app as well. Dis-Chem is a really great app for babies now as well, where you can get lots of different things. And if you register, you get the awesome Dis-Chem Baby Bag. Yes, they're back and they're better than what they used to be. So be sure to go do that. Lizelle, thank you so much for joining me. Mm-hmm. I look forward to having you on again in future. On that note, though, can you believe it? The show is gone and it's over for today, but it was a great show. Don't worry if you've missed it. The podcast will be available on hivefm.com for you to go listen to at your own convenience. And as I mentioned throughout the show, we've had lots of different topics. We have such a wonderful library of different topics that we've covered on the show that you can go listen to at your own convenience. And not just my show. All of the shows on Chai FM are available as podcasts on chaifm.com. So you can go listen to it. Next week is October already. Can you believe it? And it's like 3 months left of the year. We have to start thinking about Christmas. Oh, my word. Let's not think about it just yet. But next week, I am joined by Mom of Three, Megan Hoyer, where we actually just going to be talking about being a mom, what it entails, what it makes us feel like, what we hate about it, what we love about it, what we find hard about it, what we find easy about it. So please remember to join me next week as I talk to Megan about being a mom. One of the greatest gifts we can give our children is the example of kindness. So I want you to go out there and be reminded to be kind to those around you. Thank you so much for joining me. Until next time, enjoy your day.